no matter what the external situation is. And in fact, if it was a big situation that normally would have led to a great reaction, and instead of the reaction, you utter a big, yes, it is. Yes, my house has gone up in flames. It is as it is. And I say yes to this moment, not just verbally. With every cell of my being, I embrace the isness of this moment. And suddenly, the one intelligence can move through you unimpededly, whereas before it was obstructed by a little knotted little me. And all you had was a limited aspect of that vast intelligence that is the human mind, which has nothing wrong. It's a beautiful aspect of the one intelligence. There's only something wrong with it when you're looking for yourself in it. So suddenly you're open, and with a yes always comes a deep sense of peace and stillness from deep within. It comes with a yes. And you can, even in the little situations where before you would have reacted, you utter that yes with every cell of your body. You could even use your arms so that it becomes a whole body thing, not just going through the motions in your head and say, okay, I need to say yes to this moment. Okay, yes, yes. Well, you see, it hasn't changed yet. Yes, yes. Nothing is happening. So the yes is not a means to an end. In the old state of consciousness, the only validity the present moment has is it's a means to an end, because it gets you to the next moment. That's how people live. I'm on my way to the next moment. Where are you going? I'm on my way. Where? To the future, the next moment. Okay, so this moment is the stepping stone. That's the only reason why it's there. It helps me to get to the next one, because the next one is the one that's going to fulfill me and complete me. That's the old state of consciousness. In the normal, in the new, this, as this new state that I call presence arises, the now is not a means to an end anymore. The now is honored for what it is, life itself. There is nothing else. Nothing else except this. And now, we come to something very subtle here and very important. It's not, as you begin to say yes, you realize it's not to do with what happens. What happens is there, it's fine. It's the space in which it happens. You're no longer looking for yourself in what happens in your life. Of course, things happen. That's not going to change. But you're not looking for yourself anymore in anything that happens, an enhanced sense of me. So, from the point of view of that limited self, it becomes fearful at that moment and says, Oh, no, no. Who am I? I don't know who I am anymore. That's good. You are not what happens. You are the space in which it happens. And that is not something to believe in. That is something to know for yourself, and you know it for yourself when you say yes to what is. When you allow whatever arises to be, then you become who you already essentially are, the space around what happens. That is your formless identity, your essence, your formless essence. So one could say that the essence of who you are is the now. You are the now. That is the essence of who you are. Everything, the whole world arises in that. And in that, you are one with universal essence. That is freedom. Suddenly, then you know who you are. That is self-realization. Self-realization doesn't mean suddenly you have a wonderful set of ideas in your head about who you are, and the story is now totally complete, and every piece of the jigsaw puzzle is now in place. No, because that's all the world of form. No form lasts. Essentially, you cannot really know yourself in the sense that the mind knows something. You cannot become an object to yourself, an object of knowledge. That's the essence of the old consciousness, where you make an object to you become an object to yourself through mind, and so you have begin to have a problematic relationship with yourself. Some people have a very difficult relationship with themselves. Some people live with a self that they would have left long ago if it were another person. Some people live with a sense of self that is the more dreadful, unbearable, but they, what do? They're stuck with it. And that is, this is all the essence of the egoic consciousness. You've become content of mind. You're seeking yourself in mental content. You've become a mind object to yourself. And then you have a problematic relationship with yourself, unlike a flower, unlike a cat. The cat doesn't have a relationship with itself. It is itself. It moves. It looks. It lies down. It doesn't try to relax. It's aligned with the totality. It's an expression, a beautiful expression of the totality. Limited, yes, limited through its form, but nevertheless an unproblematic expression of the totality, just as the flower is. No problem. Those forms that don't inhabit a world of problems. They are an expression of the one in form, and a beautiful expression. And they die beautifully. When they die, the form dissolves. They're not even afraid of death, because death is not a concept in their mind. And so this form is surrendered. Wonderful, this is why nature is such a teaching. Everything in nature is still one, not only one with itself, but one with the totality. Everything in nature is close to God, to the one, closer than humans. Well, not perhaps truly, but humans in their delusion have removed themselves from the totality. Or think they have, not really, because you can't remove yourself from the totality, but you can live in a delusion, trapped in a nightmare. Nothing really happened, but you're trapped in a nightmare. And while you're trapped in a nightmare, you don't know that nothing really happened. You think it's all very real. So you make to have a relationship with yourself, a problematic relationship with me, and so become an object to yourself. And self-realization is not that now you have a greatly improved object to relate to. No. You cannot ultimately know yourself, because whatever you can know is an object in consciousness. All you can know is what you are not, ultimately. After 30 years of psychotherapy or psychoanalysis, you will know many things about yourself, lots of things. You will have great self-knowledge, and you might even say, I have completed my course of psychoanalysis. four times a week for 25 years. And now I know myself. My psychiatrist has given me the file, the folder, it's a huge amount, and it's all in here. Now I know myself. I know myself. And the only thing you have forgotten is, who is the I that makes that statement? The one, the knower. You know many things, but do you know the knower? Can you know the knower? No. Because the moment you know the knower, you've made it into an object of knowledge and is not the knower. You can only be the knower. You can only be the presence, the one that you already are, the one consciousness. You are that. And in that state of presence, of simple beingness, of complete and utter yes to what is, the busy, noisy mind also subsides, because all the reason why the mind was so busy and so noisy, because it was fighting what is. That lies at the basis for the compulsive mind activity that never stops, because it's thinking about me and my problems, and I've got to work this out. I've got to work my life out. There's nothing to work out. So suddenly, you are. That state is so simple, of such simplicity, and it is a state in which great intelligence operates, but it operates noiselessly. There is stillness increasingly that arises in you as you allow this moment to be. And then what arises is the state of presence, in which the compulsive noise-making of the mind doesn't operate anymore. And a greater intelligence is there, but it is not understood by the mind. The mind says, no, if I surrender to what is, if I allow this moment to be, if I not even interpret anymore what's happening, because in this new state of consciousness that is arising on the planet, that all the ancient teachings and teachers pointed to, but very few people got it, in that new state, mind activity is substantially reduced. Occasionally it's still useful, but a lot of the time, the mental noise is not needed, and intelligence operates without the mental noise. You just look, and action happens. Or nothing happens, and there's simply the state of, beautiful state of allowing this moment to be. There was no noise that went into making this flower. It grew out of the stillness. And the beauty came out of the vastness of the stillness, the great one intelligence. And if you travel into outer space, the amazing thing you would find there is there's no noise. Everything, even a whole galaxy, is born in complete stillness. There's no noise in outer space. The whole universe is... And a whole galaxy could explode, and it's totally still. Of course, it takes about 10 million years to explode, and everything, the essence of intelligence is stillness, and occasionally it manifests in a different form as the human mind, as noise, or monkeys that live in the jungle. That's fine too. So to know that you do not become stupid when stillness arises in you, you do not become stupid when you no longer compulsively judge and interpret this moment continuously. I need to call it something, this or a person that comes into your life, immediately judge, interpret, label. That's what the noisy mind does. And that's how The me personalizes every event through its mental noise because it stands in a reactive relationship to this event, and so how it fears that it might weaken, become weakened through this, so it reacts to strengthen itself. So it's continuously working out strategies how to be mad ultimately, and reflected, madness reflected in human history, as 90% of it is completely mad. Any history book will show you that 90% of human history is utter madness. And so where does that come from? There must be a collective insanity in, of course there is. The Buddha called it suffering, Jesus calls it sin, in Hinduism it's called illusion. So obviously, yes, there's, and we are awakening out of that. And what the wonderful thing you will see as you allow this moment to be, is that you don't need to interpret. You can, a greater intelligence operates when you just allow it to be there, and there's a stillness around it instead of mental noise. It, something arises, a person comes, okay. To practice it, for, let's say somebody comes to you wanting to tell you their sad story. Listen to me, how dreadful it all is. Let me tell you about the story. So the person comes to you, and instead of immediately labeling, maybe with good intentions, saying, okay, what can I say next to make this person feel better? No, instead, you allow this moment to be so completely that all that there is a spacious sense of presence as this person is talking to you. A spacious sense of presence. This is how you're not saying you shouldn't be trapped in your story, why don't you get out, you should be awake by now. And you don't say, oh, don't tell me your story, I've got far worse things than you. You should listen to mine. God. As I knew somebody, even when somebody said, I have a headache, he would say, you have a headache? I've had a headache for weeks. Instead, there's a spacious sense of presence. There's simply the act of listening, attentive listening. No labeling, no interpreting, just is. That is the arising of true intelligence. And then you find out of that spacious presence, which is still but alert and alive, sometimes words come out of it and the mind operates, but it operates out of that. And suddenly you find yourself saying something and it'll be just right for that moment. Or you may find, because you're holding that sense of spacious presence, the other person suddenly stops talking. As when I first began to see people, for whatever it is, they don't have a name for it, they would come, and a woman came with her, she was burdened with an enormous sense of self, and she came to me with her dreadful story. Oh, you must listen to me, please do something, do. There was simply, And suddenly she stopped speaking, and that was the first time I realized how powerful presence is, the spaciousness of presence. She stopped speaking after 20 minutes and looked around as if he had just woken up. And she looked at all the papers that she had written about attorneys and lawyers. And she said, this isn't important at all, is it? So she woke up at that moment because the spaciousness of presence was there. And a complete acceptance also was there of that being. No matter of that moment, which expressed itself as that being, And that is the power that then operates. That is the greater intelligence that can then express itself through you, but it will also express itself, suddenly it seems to express itself also through other forms when you are in spacious presence. Suddenly things happen because you're connected with the one intelligence, and suddenly, even externally, things, answers come, the right thing happens. But you don't need those things anymore to complete your sense of self. So they are simply given to you when you don't need them anymore. That's exactly what Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven. Seek only the kingdom of heaven. What he really meant, find only the kingdom of heaven. They just got it wrong when they wrote it down. Find only the kingdom of heaven, and all those things that you think you need or that you thought you needed when you were trapped in an illusory sense of self based on a story that was never enough. That's what he really said. When you no longer need that for your identity, then all those things that you thought you needed to make your story complete will be added unto you. And that'll be nice, no more. You will enjoy them, fine, it's beautiful. That won't last either, because nothing in the world of form lasts, so eventually that leaves you also. That's fine too, that's in the nature of the world of form. It comes and goes. But it's an amazing thing is when you enter a new state of consciousness, the new state of consciousness arises in you, you step out of the story of me, the story then continues. It doesn't collapse as such. The external circumstances of your life, they actually get better. But that's not why you do it. That's not why you say yes to what is, so that it's going to get better. That's not a real yes. So there's nothing new here. So the same teaching, if it can even be called that, it's not a teaching because you already know it. It's simply expressing itself again with great intensity. Not that I'm speaking to myself. You are listening to yourself. That's all. The one consciousness speaks. That this happens to be of one form and there's another form. The one consciousness speaks and listens to itself. So that is the simplicity of the transformation of human consciousness, which is what this is about. The transformation of human consciousness that is not going to happen in the future. The transformation of human consciousness that essentially can only happen now, because its very nature is nowness. Its very nature is isness, suchness. So it's not something that to look forward to. Not when I speak of awakening or transformation of consciousness, the mind can get hold of that and say, tell me how to get there, and tell me how long it'll take, and then I will get there. Because the mind loves future, it loves time, because that's this mind-based sense of self. It asks for more time. It resents sitting here and being told that, no, I'm not giving you any more time. It won't help you. So you can see the mind asks, how do I get to this transformed state of consciousness from where I am now?